Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Tzadik. We will begin at our Pei Tes and the Beis, six lines from the bottom of Mimetzis Amit. In the previous shiur, we began learning the halachas of Gira Nosha, and the Gemara taught us, the Mishnah taught us that Gira Nosha is also applicable to Mugdoshim, animals that are kachim. And the Gemara's question was, exactly what is the situation, that the Mishnah refers to. And the Gemara said that our Mishnah is referring to an animal, to the fetus of Kachim, that became Kachim from the moment it was conceived. And therefore the Gemara suggests that the Issa Gid and that the Issa Kachim come at the exact same moment to avoid any issues of Issa Chal al Issa, because they both came at the moment this fetus, that this uber was conceived. Ask the Gemara, "Omimatzas am b'tavai b'hadei dadi kasi." Is that indeed true? That when an animal becomes kachim, vlad kachim becomes kachim from the moment of conception. So the iser kachim and the iser gid come simultaneously. But nan, the Mishnah says, we know the halacha is that a nazir may not become tummy. Of course, the halacha is that it was only tumas mace, not other types of tumah, tumas sheretz, or tumas nevelo, or other types of tumah. The halacha is that if a nazir does become tummy, it cancels his naziris. He has to bring kabanis, a kabanosham, and two birds, one for chatas and one for an oila. And then he could resume his naziris. Says the Mishnah, Al Eila Tumas HaNazir Megaleach, for the following Tumas does a Nazir have to cancel his naziris, shave his hair, and start from fresh, Al Ames, if he became in contact with a mess, or Kazayif in a mess. And immediately, when we learn this Mishnah, the Kashla, the question comes up, Al Kazayif in a mess Megaleach, if he has to cut and begin his naziris again, if he was exposed to just a kazayis, a kula like koshke. And as Ramban explains, the question is double. Number one, why, if just for a kazayis he becomes tamei, so why does the Mishnah have to say alames? And furthermore, says the Ramban, part of the question is that why isn't there an issue of eva menachai? And as soon as he's exposed to an eva menachai, that halacha ought to be that he is tamei. Vam Rav Yochanan. To answer this question, Rav Yochanan explained, "Lanitzcha el neifel shle nikshur evar begidim." The mystery is referring, says the Rav Yochanan, to a neifel, to a child who was stillborn that didn't yet form into a full-fledged body, and therefore did not have any Avram and Gidon yet, and since they didn't have Avram and Gidon yet, so it doesn't have a Kazayis Fosser, it doesn't have the Avram and Achai that we discussed, but what's relevant to us is that it doesn't have Gidon. And the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, which is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, is that the way an animal is formed, it's all first soft flesh, and after its soft flesh, it ultimately hardens, the Gidon harden and turn into Gidon. But what that does, as far as our Gemara is concerned, it causes a real issue. Because we've been explaining that the Isser Kachim and the Isser Avim and the Isser Gira Nosha come at the same time. But the way we just explained the Gemara is that the Gidon don't actually get formed until much later. So how can we understand that both of these things happen at the same time? And that's how Tosfos explains the Gemara. Tosfos quotes Rashi's explaining back to an issue that we just mentioned in the Mishnah yesterday briefly, and we'll discuss more extensively later in the Perek, in Mirza Hashem, that a Gid is not considered a Gid Anosha, that's Usher, unless it's a cat. It's on the Kaf HaYerech, and it has that semicircle around it, the eagle. And says Tosfos that an animal, when it's first formed, doesn't yet have all of that. And since it doesn't have all of that when it's first formed, it shouldn't fall into the category of Giranasha. It only comes into the category of Giranasha, says the Gemara, much later. And since it comes into the category of Giranasha much later, the same question comes up. If it comes up much later, then how could the Gemara have said that Giranasha and Kachim, that the two Isurim come at the same time? Alma, as says the Gemara, Isur Kedoshim Kadim, that the Kachim Isur comes first. Ask Tosfos, if this is indeed the case, that every time the Gidin don't actually get formed until later, so how is there ever Isur Giranasha? The Avrim of the animal form first. And since the Avrim of the animal form first, so does the Isser Avim Menachai. And that Isser Avim Menachai should prevent the Isser Gihanosha from coming on the animal because of Enes Echal. So a number of answers are given to this question. One answer that's given is that the Isser Avim Menachai actually doesn't come until the animal actually comes out from its mother's womb. So it's not like that the Isser Avim Menachai preceded the Isser Giranasha. They come later, they both come at the same time when it emerges from the mother's womb. That's one tariff that many Mepharshim give. Another tariff that the Mepharshim suggest, that in our Gemara, when we're discussing Isser Kachim and Isser Gid, so the Isser Kachim is a much more serious Isser than the Isser Gid, as we're going to soon see explicitly in the Gemara. The Isser Gid Hanosha is an Isser Malkus, it's an Isser Lav, whereas the other Isser is an Isser of the Isser of Kachin is a Chiv Karas. And therefore the Gemara's question is a very strong question. How could the Isser Gid be Chal once we already have the Isser Kachin? However, the Isser Avim Menachai is an Issa Lav, just like the Issa Gid is also an Issa Lav. When the two Issurim are both Issa Lavim, there the Gemara doesn't ask and is in trouble that one Issa should be Chal on the other Issa. A third Teretz, which the Rishonim suggest, and the Sam Sofer explains very beautifully, is as follows. What is the concept, and it's going to be an issue that we're going to keep on learning about, Ein Issa Chal al Issa? What does Ein Issa Chal al Issa say? Ein Issa Chal al Issa speaks to a unique situation, says the Sam Sofer, where something is already Osir, so there's a halacha concept, that if something is already Osir, Ein Issa Chal al Issa, another Issa could be not be Chal on it. When was that said? That was only said in a situation where it's a unique situation, where something is also with a unique Isser. But in a situation where this is always the case, and what we're learning now tomorrow, what we're discussing now, the issue that Tosfos raised, is exactly such a situation, whereby every animal, you're going to have Isser Avim Menachai preceding the Isser Gid Hanosha, as we're learning, because the Gid Hanosha is only formed later. So this isn't a special circumstance that we came up with, where we have one Isser, and then we have another Isser. It's by every animal. Something that occurs by every animal, there we don't say the concept of Ein Issa Chal al Issa. So we're back to our question. Here, the Isser Kachim comes before the Isser Gid Hanosha. So why is the halacha that we say that this comes? Why is the halacha that the Isser Gid Hanosha will apply? Answers the Gemara. Afka the Isser Mekudoshim Kodim, even though, as we just explained, the Isser Kodshim comes first, also Isser Gid Chai Alayu. The Isser Gid Hanosha could be Chal, Shekeni Sura Noyim Ibn Noyach. As we will learn later in the Parak of Mitzvah Shem, there is a machloikis if the Isser of if the Yisr of Gira HaNasha applied to Klal Yisrael only after Har Sinai, after we received the Torah in Har Sinai, already applied earlier. It is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that it applied earlier. So now, the Gemara is very understandable. Since the Yisr Gira HaNasha is a very unique and strong Yisr, because it's an Yisr that even applies to Bnei Noach, and again, Bnei Noach here doesn't mean Goyim. Nobody assumes that the Yisr Gira HaNasha applies to Goyim. What it means here is to Klal Yisrael before we became Klal Yisrael, when we were still Bnei Noach. So that makes the Yisr Gira HaNasha a very strong and unique Yisr. And the halacha is that when do we say Ein Yisachal Yisr? When the second Yisr has nothing unique or strong about it. Here, where it's uniquely strong Yisr, we do say Yisachal Yisr. And the fact that the Yisr Gira HaNasha applies even to the Bnei Noach makes that Yisr Gira HaNasha a strong Yisr, and it will be Chal even when the animals also because it's Kodesh. Ask the Gemara. Man Shamplei Eslehai Svara. Who is the Tana that holds that the Yisr Gira HaNasha applies even to Bnei Noach? Rabbi Yehuda. But ask the Gemara, for Masnisin to like Rabbi Yehuda. But our Mishnah clearly cannot be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tani, because our Mishnah at the beginning of the Mishnah said, Noig Behema Bechayah, that the Yisr Gira HaNasha applies both to Behemoth and Chayis, Beyerch Sheyamin, Beyerch Shesmel, both on the right and on the left thigh. And as we're going to learn extensively in Mitzvah Shem, in the Gemara, the halacha is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's only on the right thigh. So obviously our Mishnah can't be following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And as Rishonim point out, there's another raya that our Mishnah cannot be following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because the Rabbi Yehuda states that the Yisr Gira HaNasha doesn't apply to fetuses, and we're clearly learning that it is applying to the Uber as well. But the Gemara says the Rishonim preferred to ask from Yerach Shalemin Vishal Smo, because that's one of the first halachas stated in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara. Hi, Kanasovoy Gavosei Bechada, and Polagle Bechada. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda when he says that the Yisr Gira HaNasha applies to Bnei Noach, but they don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda when Rabbi Yehuda says that it only applies to the right thigh. Ask the Gemara, even if we're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda's strict opinion that the Gira HaNasha applies to Bnei Noach, ask the Gemara, aim of the Shamgle Rabbi Yehuda. Where did Rabbi Yehuda say that the Gira HaNasha applies to Bnei Noach? But Tameim, by a non-kosher animal, disalav. So the only Isser on a non-kosher animal is Isalav. So Yehuda says that even though it's a non-kosher animal, it also has the Isser Gira HaNasha. Kotchim, but in the case that we're discussing, this occurs, where we're referring to an Isser Karis, Kotchim, the Isser T Kotchim is an Isser Karis, Mishamgle, will Rabbi Yehuda hold that the Issa Gid applies? Once it's already Asr because of an Issa Karis, it certainly should be Asr because of, it can't have another Issa of Gira HaNasha. Says the Gemara, El Hacha, the Mevakeres Askinim, the Berechen Kaddish. We all know that a Bechor that's born to its mother is Kachim. The Halach is, as we all say every day, is the pasuk says, "Kaddishli kol petarechem." Everybody agrees that a petarechem only becomes kadosh when it emerges from its mother's womb. So here we're going to have a situation. I saw two ways how the mefarshim explain that the Yisr Gira HaNasha comes from when the Gira HaNasha is actually ultimately formed. This akashim comes later, but the Yisr akashim can be chal on the Yisr Gira HaNasha, because the Issa Kachim is a much more strong Isser, as we just learned, because the Issa Kachim is Issa Karis, Isser, Gid is only Issa Lav. When it's such a situation, we say Issa Chalal Isser, or we could understand that they both come at the exact same time. And since they both come at the exact same time, that's why there's no problem with Issa Chalal Isser. Vibai Seima, another way of understanding our Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that the Gira HaNasha could be by Kachim, Kachim b'Aviyosim hen Kedoshim. The understanding until now was that the animal becomes Kadosh from the Vlad becomes Kadosh from when it is in its mother's womb. The Gemara says no. It only becomes kadosh, even though it was born to an animal that's hegdish, it only actually becomes kadosh when it emerges. So again, either we could learn that the issegin anosha, the issegin kachim, come at the exact same time when they come out, or we'll say that the issegin comes when it's actually formed. The issegin kachim only comes when the animal emerges from its mother's womb. Since issegin kachim is a more serious isser than the issegin, so there is no problem of ein issechal al isser, and that's why we can understand the Mishnah when it says that in these unique situations that we just identified, of a keres or vladis kachim, those are the cases where the animal will have both issegid and issekachim. But indeed, on the way the Gemara remains, on a regular animal, in a regular situation where we have an animal that already has the regular animal will not be the subject of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Chiva Yosef, Lo Yishon Al Kachim Nechalim. When we speak about the Issa Gid applying to Kachim, it's talking about its Kachim that are eaten. And the Gemara will explain what this means in a second. Al Kachim She'en Nechalim, Kachim that are not eaten, which is the case of a carbon oiler, Ein Issa Gid Noi Behem. Rav Yoichan Amar, Rav Yochanan however says, Echad Kachem and Nechalim, Vechad Kachem She'en and Nechalim, both of them is Segid Noi Behem. So Rav Papa right away explains, and he says, Loi Pligi, Kan Lal Koisei. When Rav Yochanan says that by all Kachem there is an Issegid, he means, this is what Rashi explains, he means that if somebody eats from that Gid HaNosha, he'll get Malkus. Kan Lal Koisei, when Rav Chaya Yosef said that there is no issegid, he's talking about the issue of putting up the carbon on the Mizbeach. And he's saying that when you're putting up the carbon on the Mizbeach, like a carbon oiler, that the entire carbon is put on the Mizbeach, then the halacha will be that even the gid comes on the Mizbeach as well, which we're going to discuss in a moment. The Mefarshim ask on Rashi's Pshat. The Ran isn't satisfied with Rashi's Pshat. Because according to Rabbi Papa's explanation now, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that anybody who eats gid gets malchus. Say before Hashem, of course you get malchus. Why shouldn't you get malchus for eating the gid? So the achronim in defense of Rashi explained, because we would think, just like we alluded a moment ago, we're going to learn that by a non-kosher animal there is no issur gid hanasha. Perhaps by carbonos, which are kachim, there isn't an issur gid hanasha either. If you eat it, you don't get malchus. That's what Rabbi Yochanan came to teach us, that there is an issur malchus. Ikadamri, another version of what Rabbi Papa said, v'loy pligi. Kan l'chaltzoy, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef was referring to a situation about removing the gid hanasha. And he's saying that there is no obligation to remove the gid hanasha that's connected to the animal. Kan la loisoi, whereas Rabbi Yochanan is speaking in a situation that if the gid hanasha was removed from the animal, it should not be put on the mizbeach. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak Amar la loisoi pligi. They're actually arguing if the gid hanasha is put on the mizbeach as part of the carbon. And he says that they are arguing, and the shaila is, even if the gid hanasha is still part of the animal, must it be separated before we burn the animal on the mizbeach? And the Gemara says that this machloikus is actually based on a machloikus tanur, the Tanya. The Braisa says regarding the obligation to burn a carbon. The pasuk says v'hiktar koyin es akoyl hamizbeicha. So the Torah is saying as a kol, says the Braisel Rabbis Hatzomos, the Gidin, the bones and the Gidin, the Ikranayim, the horns, the Tophayim, the hoofs, Yochal Afil Parashu, even if they were separated from the animal, they still should be put on the Mizbeach, Tamaloymer, Vasiso Lasecha HaBasu Adam. Ibasu Adam, and the Braisel is dealing with an obvious question. One Pasuk says that we only burn the Basu Adam. The other Pasuk says, Victor Koines Akol. So how do we reconcile? Because if it says just Bosvadam, Yachal Yachlatz Gidim Vatzamas, Biyala Basal Mizbeach, that only the Basal should be put on the Mizbeach, Tam Leimer, Victor Akoyas Akala Mizbeach. Haketzat, Mechubarim, what's ever connected to the meat, Yalu, Parshu, but if they were separated from the meat, Afil Barash Yishem Mizbeach Yeradu, even if it's already on the Mizbeach, but if it gets separated, they should not be burnt on the Mizbeach. So the Pasuk Akal was speaking when they're connected, and the Pasuk says, Basal Adam, is referring to when they are separated. Says the Gemara, Man Tamil, the Shamalei Parshu Yardu, who is the Tana that has this opinion? Says Gemara Rebihi. The Tanya, the Brisa says, again with the Pesukim that we're analyzing, the Pasuk says, Vehikta Akonis Akol, the Rabbis had Tzomis Aginim Akot Noayim Vatofayim Vafil Parshu. This Tana holds that even if they're separated, they still are burnt. I, Vaman and Kaim, there is this Pasuk that says, Vasiso Lesecho Habosva Hadom. So Pasuk clearly says that only Bosva Dam. Says the Gemara that's talking about Paikim. That we learned in Masech Zvachim that if certain parts of the carbon fly off the Mizbeach, they should be returned. And now the Tanakam is teaching us, Haketzad, that the Pasuk is teaching us that only Ikule Basar at the Machzer, if pieces of meat fly off the Mizbeach, they should be put back on the Mizbeach. V'yatamachse ikule gidim v'atzomis. So according to the Tanna Kamma, which is the opinion of the Rabbanan, gidim v'atzomis are burnt with the carbon, and not only gidim v'atzomis that are attached to the meat are burnt with the carbon, but even gidim v'atzomis that are separated are also burnt with the carbon. Only gidim v'atzomis that fly off the Mizbeach are not returned. Rebbe, however, holds, kos v'achayim, as we've been learning, Victor Kainas Akal, Reba, that everything should be burnt on the Mizbeach. Yet the Kosva Achraim, there's another passage that says, Vasisa Lachsacha Basva Adam, which is Mir, Haketzad, Mechuborim, if these Gidim are connected, Yahu, they should be put on the Mizbeach, Parshu, but if they're separated, Afil Barosh Yishem Mizbeach, even when they're on the Mizbeach, proper Yerdu. So we see from this Brisa clearly, the Rebbe is the Tanner that holds that if the Gidim and Basar and some separate, they're not put on the Mizbeach. According to Rabbanon, they are in the Mizbeach. Now, Rav Nachman Yitzchok takes this machloikis a step further. And he says, based on this machloikis, the opinion of Rebbe will be that the Gid HaNosha, when it's still attached to the Yerech, to the thigh, should be put on the Mizbeach. Rabbanon will disagree. Rabbanon, Mechubarim L'Itzrach Krol L'Rabbayim. According to Rabbanon, there is no need for a pasuk to teach us Mechubarim, that attached bones, Tzomis and Gidim, are put on the Mizbeach. Why? Midah Dehavah Rosh Yishol Oila. It's no different than the Rosh of an Oila, which has many bones in it, and certainly the head of the carbon Oila is burnt on the Mizbeach. So too, that bones are burnt, we don't need a pasuk. Kitzukros, so what is the Pasuk teaching us when it says Vehikta Akoinas Akol Lefroshu? That even if they're separated, they should be burnt on Mizbeach. Rebbe who says that only when they're attached are they put on the Mizbeach. Mechubarim, the Atera, only attached that are Mutter. Lo Yitzukros, Mitterim the Atera, Lo Yitzukros, Rebuyu. Indeed, parts that are attached and are mutter indeed should be put on the Mizbeach. Kitzur kro l'gid ha'noshav mechubar. Rabbi is saying that the chiddush of the pasuk is that certainly parts of the animal that are kosher parts of the animal and they're still attached to the carbon are burnt on the Mizbeach together with the carbon. The pasuk is coming to teach us that even the gid ha'noshav, which it itself, as we are learning, is asur, as long as it's still connected to the animal, can be burnt on the Mizbeach. Rabbanan, who obviously disagree, because they're not saying that this is what the Pasuk is coming to teach us. They're saying that the Pasuk is coming to teach us the halacha of Parshu, that when they're separated, they still should be put on the Mizbeach. Indeed hold that the Gid HaNosha should be separated from the animal and not put on the Mizbeach. Why? Because there's a rule, Mimashke Yisrael, only from something, the Pasuk says, the Mashki Yisrael, only something that, Minamutal Yisrael, something that we're allowed to eat, maybe put on the Mizbeach. Since we're not allowed to eat the Ginanasha, it may not be put on the Mizbeach either. The Rebbe. So how does Rebbe understand that Rebbe is saying that the Ginanasha can be put on the Mizbeach as part of the bringing of the carbon? Just like we know that an important part of every carbon is burning the chaylev and sprinkling the dam, even though, of course, we may not eat chaylev nor dam. So we see the same thing as with the Geranosha. How did the Rabbanon respond? Mitzvos Mekadshani. Of course the chaylev and dam, say the Rabbanon, are put on the Mizbeah. Because the chaylev and dam, the Torah says, is what is all about the carbon. Whereas the Geranosha is not what the Torah says should be offered on the Mizbeah. And therefore the Rabbanon holds, since the Geranosha, we're not allowed to eat it, and as a rule of Mashki Yisrael, the halacha indeed will be that we're not allowed to eat from the Gid Hanosha that's as part of a carbon. What will Rebbe do? Asked the Rishonim, obviously, with the Pasuk of Mashki Yisrael. So there's two explanations I saw in the Rishonim. Rashi says the Rebbe holds that only if the animal, from a species that's Osul Yisrael, an example would be a treifa, then is there a din of Mashki Yisrael. But here, where the animal is obviously a kosher animal, so Rebbe holds just like the Isser Chel Vadam doesn't apply, so too the Isser of Giranosha won't apply. Ritva takes a different way of explaining Rebbe's opinion. Ritva says that only when the entire animal is Osir, when does the rule of Mashki Yisrael apply according to Rebbe? Only when it affects the entire animal. Since clearly here, it's not affecting the entire animal, the chayl of Adam, the rest of the animals put on the Mizbeach, that the Isser of Giranosha will not be affected by the rule of Mashki Yisrael either. And perhaps, this Machlokes Rishonim is connected to a very fundamental question that the Achronim pose in understanding this rule of Mashki Yisrael. The Achronim, Rav Elchanan, and the Megdash David, and many other Achronim try to understand, what does the rule of Mashki Yisrael say? Does the rule of Mashki Yisrael say that whatever a hedget, whatever Yisrael may not eat, the Mizbeach may not eat either? Or does the Torah say that there are certain things that are also to the Mizbeach? And what is a way of knowing that something is also to the Mizbeach? What are one of the ways of knowing something may not be put on the Mizbeach? If it's such a food that may not be put on, that we may not eat, nor may we give it to the Mizbeach. So to redirect, what it means is this an extension of the Isser that we're not allowed to eat? Or is it a separate Isser, and this is just a way of knowing what is awesome? What will be the nafkamina? What will be if something is Osir L'Yisrael, if something is mutter for us, but it's Osir L'Gavoya? And then these two items got mixed together. If it's just an extension of the Isser Hedyot, so here it's not Osir to the Hedyot, and it wouldn't be a violation of Mashki Yisrael. If it's an independent Isser, then the rule of Mashki Yisrael would apply. And perhaps this Machlokes that I said a few moments ago between Rashi and Ritva, understanding how to understand our Gemara, how to understand Rebbe's opinion, is the same. Rashi is saying that the issue is that we look, is it a treifa or is it not a treifa? Why is Rashi saying it? He compares it to a treifa. What's Rashi saying by comparing it to a treifa? Because Rashi's learning that just like a treifa, which is osa to us, so too this, which is osa to us. But here, that it's not osa to us, because the rule of treifa wouldn't apply here, so too the rule of Mashki Yisrael won't apply here. The Ritva learns that's a rule that's applicable to Kachin. But when is the rule applicable to Kachin? Only when it affects the entire animal. When it doesn't affect the entire animal, then this new rule of Mashki Yisrael wouldn't apply. And this concept of Mashki Yisrael is spoken about in the Rishonim and the Achronim in many different scenarios. One of the most famous questions is that we know the day of the year that perhaps the most kabbonis were brought was Yom Kippur. But the halacha is that in Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to eat. So it should be a violation of Mashki Yisrael. We're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So there are a number of answers that I saw. The simplest answer is that the issue of Mashki Yisrael is only when it's a din in the animal, not when it's a din in the Zman. And since the Yisrael Yom Kippur, it's not an issue on the animal, it's an issue that on Yom Kippur we're not allowed to eat, therefore it isn't a violation of Mashki Yisrael. Another explanation, a simple explanation, is like our Gemara just said. Just like the Gemara said regarding the Chel of the Dam, but the Gemara said the Tzfas of the Kach, certainly the same as Yom Kippur, that the Torah teaches us that even though we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and therefore perhaps it should be a violation of a Mashki Yisrael, it isn't because of the very rule we're discussing, the Torah says to bring the Kabbonis. Another pshat that I saw is that food is really not usur on Yom Kippur, because otherwise how would children be allowed to eat? So we see that it has nothing to do with the food per se. Another explanation that I saw is that Lachon says a very nice word. He said it's not that food is usur on Yom Kippur. The halacha is that in Yom Kippur the Torah says tanu istaf shesecha. We should be in pain. And how do we accomplish inui? The way we accomplish inui is by not eating. It's not that the food per se, that the animal, there's something per se wrong with the animal. And that's why the halacha is that there is no problem with Mashki Yisrael, with Kabbonis on Yom Kippur. The Achroinim debate, what will be the halacha regarding dam, putting dam on the Mizbeach that isn't absolutely required for the Zrikas Hadam. The Chasam Sofer says that since some dam could be put on the Mizbeach, not some dam could be put on the Mizbeach, some dam must be put on the Mizbeach, again, it therefore is not considered a violation of Mashki Yisrael, and therefore the Chasam Sofer holds that there is no need to kasher, to do melicha on an animal before we do, there's no need to do melicha on an animal before we put it on the Mizbeach. The Mechitz Chinuch says that perhaps we have to do melicha on every carbon before we actually put it on the Mizbeach, because there's still blood on the carbon that may not be put on the Mizbeach unless it's part of the Zrik Saddam process. So we have to get that dam out through melicha. Another interesting question that I saw is that the Gemara, we learned, teaches us that Mayim Megulim may not be put on the Mizbeach. Water that was left... Now the question is, Mayim Megulim, there's nothing wrong with the water. The entire issue with the water is that there only may be poison in it. From the snake. So why would it be usher because of Mashki Yisrael? It should be no different than the food on Yom Kippur, that there's nothing wrong inherently with the animal, and here there's nothing inherently wrong with the water. There's just a concern that a snake might have dropped some venom in it. Based on this question, the Brisker Rav says a very big chiddush. The Brisker Rav says that once Chazal said that we're now allowed to drink Mayim Megulim, and indeed, the reason they said we're not allowed to drink Mayim Megulim is because of the concern of snake dropping its venom in it. But once Chazal said it, it becomes usur, it becomes Macholos Asuris. And that's why many people hold that even Bizman Hazer, where there is no concern for snakes, Chazal identified these foods as Macholos Asuris, even when the concern isn't there. The question Mefarshim asks is, we know that Adam and Rishon, until after the Mabul, we weren't allowed to eat meat. So the question is, how could have Adam, and we know Cain and Hevel certainly, brought animals for carbon? It's not Mamashki Yisrael, because they weren't allowed to eat meat. So I saw that the Mefarshim respond that there was nothing wrong with eating meat. There was nothing non-kosher about the meat. The entire issue with the meat was that everything belongs to Hashem. And Hashem said that trees and herbs and vegetables, if you eat, it will not be considered as if you stole it, you stole something from Hashem. Whereas this is considered as if you stole meat you don't have permission to eat, so it's considered as if you stole it. So since it's considered as if you stole it, therefore, it's not, that's why you're not allowed to eat it. So it falls into the same category as we learned before. Because many Achronim, in order to sort of summarize what we're saying, are of the opinion that the Isser of Mashki Yisrael is only when it's an Isser Cheftza, not when it's an Isser Gavra. When the entire Isser is only because I may not do something, because I may be, like I just said, will be over Gzela if I eat this, that, or I'll be over eating Yom Kippur, that's where there's no problem of Mashki Yisrael. Only when the meat is inherently non-kosher, the examples that we're giving, Giranosha, it's a Cheftza, then and only then is there a violation of a Mashke Yisrael. Another interesting question, and it has interesting ramifications, is we know that the Torah the Hashem tells Noach that the animals that he brings into the Teva have to be animals that are not treif. And the question is, why did he have to get a special Isser? Of course he can't bring them, because he would have to bring, because he's going to bring those animals on the carpet. Of course he can't bring them, because the halacha is, it has to be Mashki Yisrael. So the Mikdash David wants to suggest that since a treifa is not also to Ben Noach, the din of treifa is only by Ben Yisrael, so Ben Noach, a guy, would be allowed to bring a treifa. The only, so that's why Hashem had to give Noach a special instruction that don't bring treifas, I don't want kabanas from you after the mabul from treifas. Which the Mikdash David then discusses, so what's the halacha if a guy brings an animal that's a treifa to the Beis HaMikdash? Since for him a treifa is not osur, because he's not osur to eat treif, it may not be a violation of Mamashki Yisrael. It's actually Machlokes Achronim, what would be the halacha? Amar Rav Huna, Gira Nosha Shel Oila, the Gira Nosha of the Carbon Oila, Chaltza with tapuach should be separated and put it, there was a special mound of ash, we'll speak about it in a moment, it should be put there on the Mizbeah. Amar Rav Chisda, to which Rav Chisda says, Mari Dachi, Miksiv Alken Lo Yoich La Mizbeah, Alken Lo Yoich La B'nai Yisrael Ksiv, that the Klai Yisrael may not eat the Gira Nosha, but they're allowed to eat the Gira Nosha. Rav Chisda, Rav Huna, how does Rav Huna respond? Mimashki Yisrael, Mutar Yisrael. Only what we're allowed to eat, if we're not allowed to eat it, neither made him as bad. So the Rishonim already asked, isn't this machloikis of Huna and of Chizda the same machloikis of Rebbe and Rabbana? And normally in such a case, the Gemara would say, Lema Katanoi, that their machloikis is the same machloikis Tanoim. We don't find that the Gemara does so here. Why not? So the Rishonim responds, since as when we learned the opinion of Rebbe and Rabbanan, it isn't clear that this is their opinion. The Gemara only explained it that way. That's why it's not considered obvious that that's the machloikis, and therefore the Gemara doesn't ask Lema Ketanoi. Furthermore, I did see a chroyim that suggests that the machloikis of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda is connected to the chakira that we discussed. What is the isser of Giranosh? What is the isser of Mashki Yisrael? If we say it's an extension of the Issa that applies to us, so since we may not eat Giranosha, neither may the Mizbeach. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Chisda holds that it's a separate Issa that applies to Kachim, and not specifically connected to what applies to us, and therefore you could have a situation that the Mizbeach can have Giranosha, although we certainly may not. Ask the Gemara, how could ask the Gemara Rav Huna? It says in the Braisa, Gir Hanosha Shal Shlomim Mechabdul Oma. The Gir Hanosha of Kav Shlomim would be sent out through the canal. Rashi first has a Girsa that changed the girsa, because the Karban Shlomim wasn't in the Azara that it should go in that special canal that went through the Azara. And because of that, Rashi says perhaps it means the Gid HaNosha of the Chafetz for Asham. But then some say that the Gid HaNosha was in the Shoip, which was the part of the animal, the Karban Shlomim, that was given to the Kahanim. And that even though the Kahanim may eat Karban Shlomim outside of the Azara, they typically only ate it in the Azara. And therefore the Gid HaNosha that they came to was passed out through the through the canal that went through the Azara. Bishop Oilo, but here the Brisa says the carbon oil Gid HaNosha Maleu should be put on the Mizbeach. My love, and doesn't the Brisa mean Maleu Matira, that they were actually Matira on the Mizbeach? I, Rav Huna, is saying that the Gid HaNosha is not put on the Mizbeach, it's separated out. Says the Gemara, what the Brisa means, Rav Huna says, is Maleu V'Chalksoi. Bring it up and take out the Gid HaNosha. Ask the Gemara, if it's going to be taken out of the thigh because it's not allowed to be brought as part of the carbon, so why bring it on the Mizbeach in the first place? Answers the Gemara, that when we bring something as a carbon, it should be brought in a very honorable fashion. I'm bringing a thigh with the Gid HaNosha removed, so the thigh is cut up, it's not nice. So what they would do is they would bring up the entire thigh, and then on the Mizbeach, remove the Gid HaNosha. And it says, Gemara Tanya Kavasi Rav Huna, Gid HaNosha Sheshlomim Mechabda Wa'amma, V'shel Oila, it says, Choltsoi L'tapuach. They brought it up, but they weren't makriv of the Gid HaNosha. They separated it and put it into the Tapuach. Tanan Hossam, and the Gemara mentions this Tapuach, Tapuach Chai Be'antzim Mizbeach, there was a special mound of ash in the Mizbeach, Machlokes Rishonim, Rambam, and Ravid, if it was a separate structure or just a big mound of ash. The Rambam seems to learn there was some sort of a structure. The Ravid learns it just piled up ash. Pamim says the Gemara Hayalav Shlosh Meis Kor. Sometimes there was so much ash, like 300 kor, which is an astronomical number. Amar Rava, to which Rava says, Guzma. That's certainly a Guzma. Similarly, it says, Hishkos HaTamid B'Kol Shazav, that the animal that was brought for Karban Tamid, they would give it to drink water before it was slaughtered from a golden cup. Either was given to drink water because it's easier to take off the hide when it drinks before it's slaughtered, or because it could remove some of the sirchis on the rea, which we discussed would make the animal treif. Again, on a Rava Guzma, that they would use, they didn't use a gold cup to give an animal to drink. On Rav Ami, Dever Torah Lashon Havoy, sometimes we find that the Torah speaks somewhat exaggerating. Dever Nevi'im Lashon Havoy, and Dever Chacham Lashon Havoy. We find it by Nevi'im, and we find it by Mishnais. The example that we just gave regarding the ash on the Mizbeach. Because the Torah Pasuk says, Arm Gdolos of Tzuros B'Shamayim. The Pasuk speaks about when the Meragim came back, and the Pasuk said that the walls reached the heavens. Obviously, the walls didn't reach the heaven. Diru Nevi'im Loshon Havoy, B'Tikvaka Oreth B'Koilam, the Pasuk there speaks about when the celebration that took place when Shlomo HaMelech was coronated, the Tibaka Oretz, that the entire land split, as opposed to earth and split. Amram Yitzhak ben Nachmeni Am Shmuel, the Shlomo becomes the Rechon Loshon Avoy. We find three places where there's an exaggeration. Elohim, Geffen, Tapuach, Geffen Aprochus. Tapuach HaDemarin, the mount of ash on the Mizbeach. Geffen the Tanan. Geffen Sazav Haisa Medes Pesach Shalheichel. There was a grapevine made out of gold at the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. Umad Lagabu Kuntosos, and it was standing on poles to support it. The Kimai Kamisha Menad of Garber Eshko. Anybody who donated a golden grape or a golden cluster made the Tayubah would hang it on this tree. Arab Lazar Rebbe Tzadik. Nice Ivan Nimna Lash Slush Nice Kahanim of Nicely. It took 300 Kahanim to clear all the donated gold from that tree. Of course, that's a huge amount and it's somewhat of an exaggeration. Proiches Tanan, Meshim Gamil Oim Meshim Rav Shimon Ben Azgan, Proiches of your Tefach, the thickness of the Proiches was a Tefach, Machloikis of the Proiches that was between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim, or is it the Proiches that was at the entrance to the Kodesh? Vashel Shim Mishnaim Nearest Nareges, they needed 72 weaving machines to make it. Vakol Nima V'Nima Esra Abachutin, each thread made up of 24 strands, 6 of Tcheles, 6 of Argamon, 6 of Tala Shani, and 6 of Pishton, and these 6 were all twined into one thread. Archa Arbon Amma, it was 40 Amas long. Rochba Esrim Ba'amma, it was 20 Amas wide. Umishman Mishtei Rebuah Nasis, it was made from 820,000 threads. Ushtaim Oisim B'Shanah, they would make 2 every year. The Shosh Meis Kahanim at Bilan Asai, it would take 300 Kahanim to put it into the mikvah. The reason it was put into the mikvah, explained the Mefarshim, is because the women who made it, there might be a woman who's a Nida, and therefore made a Tamei. They had to make 2 new ones every year, the Mefarshim explained, because there was so much smoke from all the Kabbonis brought in the Beis HaMikdash that it would ruin these Proiches. And again, the Gemara is suggesting that all of these were just exaggerations. Interesting to note that this, the rule, the din of serving the animal in a golden cup is not repeated, because indeed there are some Tanoim say that the animal in the Beis HaMikdash drank from golden cups because of Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiris. Mefarshim of course discuss the issue, how could the Torah speak about exaggeration? So the Mefarshim explain that when something is an obvious exaggeration, then it doesn't fall into the category of sheker, of a lie. Yet, I saw from the Ramah Mepanu, that doesn't mean that one is allowed to speak that way. When we speak about psukim, and we speak about mishnayis, every word, besides the pashut pshat, besides the literal explanation, contains in it deep secrets that we don't necessarily know or even can understand or fathom. And that's why these psukim and these mishnayis were written in this way, even though they're obviously exaggeration. The Mefarshim also point out that Gemara only is speaking about psukim and mishnayis. In the Gemara, we find they say many times the Gemara uses exaggeration. And it's interesting to note that usually when the Gemara speaks about exaggeration, the number used is 300. And I thought Achronim explained, because we know 300 is the 300 is shin. Shin is 300, has the numerical value of 300. And the word sheker begins with the letter shin. So we should recognize sometimes when the Gemara is saying about 300, that's just an exaggeration. The Mishnah said that the Gid Anosh applies the Yerach Shal Yemin and the Yerach Shal Smol. Says the Gemara, Nasnis the Gloit Rav Yehuda. Our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rav Yehuda, the Tanya. Rav Yehuda Omer, En Enoy Gel Ba'achas. It's only on one side. Adas Mechras Shal Yemin. It seems right to say it's the right one. Ibai Luhu. Ask the Gemara, what does Rav Yehuda mean with it? It doesn't mean Mishnah Pshita Le Rav Yehuda. That's Avis Rav Yehuda. That's the right one. My Das Torah. That's what the Torah meant. He actually has a question. And when he said the word das, it means das night. That's what I think, but it's not 100% certain. Toshma. So Gemara brings right from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hatzamas v'agidim v'anoyser of the Korban Pesach, yisr fulishisha. So anything left over should be burnt on the 16th of Nisan. V'avinimbo. Hai gidim ayavaditayu. What gidim does this Mishnah refer to? Igidi basar lechlenu. They should be eaten. Why should you leave them over? Vidi yasser, if they were just left over because they were left over. So that's a classical case of noiser. The Mishnah doesn't just mention it. Ela gidei tzavr. It's speaking to the gidim of the neck. Ila basar. So again, ask the Mara. If they're not considered meat, lishdin, they could be discarded. Mar marchizda lenitzcha el gidei nosha. is referring to the Gidon Asher, the leader of Yehuda Dama and the Naik Elabacha. The Yehuda says that only one of the sides of the Gidon Asher. So now the Gemara explains itself. If we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda indeed has a suffix, which is the Gidon Asher, which is not that the Torah asked, Shaper. So that's why they can't eat either Gidon Asher, because we don't know which one is Asher, and they both therefore should be burned. Eli, I'm with Mr. Pshitalei. If we're going to say Rabbi Yehuda knows for sure that the right one is Asher and the left one is Mutter, so that Terah, the one that's Mutter, Lichli, should be eaten. The Surah, Lishdi, should be discarded, because it's not Noiser. Because Noiser is only something that could be eaten. The Gid may not be eaten. I'll say Rabbi Yehuda knows it's the right one. When the two Gidim got mixed up, so there's one Gid that's Asher and one Gid that's Mutter. We don't know which one is which, so we have to wait till they become nicer and burn it. It's referring to the fat of the Gidon Asher. The Tanya Shamna Mutter Yisrael Kadosh Nagav Issa. That means Midaraisa it may be eaten, and that's why it becomes nicer. That's why we can't just discard it. On the other hand, since we're machmer not to eat it, it becomes nicer and therefore should be burned. There are two gidim. Pnimi samach leetzem asa v'chayavolam. We'll describe this more. Is asa midaraisa chitzin samach basa asa v'chayavolam. It's not. It's only asa midrabbanam. Since it's only asa midrabbanam, but midaraisa it's mutter. We can't discard it, but we can't eat it, and therefore we leave it for the Shisha Asa Benissen and burn it as myself.